Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Jessie J, and you're listening to Smooth Conversations.
Hi, this is Peter White, and you're listening to Smooth Conversations, brought to you by the Smooth Jazz Ride.
Hi, this is Keiko Matsui, and you're listening to Smooth Conversations, brought to you by the Smooth Jazz Ride.
Again, welcome everybody to another Smooth Conversations program. I am your host, Ron Jackson of the Smooth Jazz Ride, here along with my co-host, Aida, also of the ride. Aida, what's happening?
Hey, you know, the weather's changed so drastically. I'm getting chills thinking about it.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty rough for the part of the East Coast anyway. Well, as usual, we are set to groove with you good folks again tonight as we bring you some more great music and a great chat. But, of course, before we get started, Aida, let's do our usual thing and fill people in on our call-in points.
Well, hello there, Jazzers. Our lines are now open for questions. We ask that you keep your questions brief so you can give other people a chance to call in. Let me give you the number. It's 929-477-2584. Ron, are we having a chat room?
I don't believe so. I have not heard from Danielle, but I will check in there periodically if those of you who wish to go into the chat room and just hang out. Mm-hmm. We'll pop in and say hey to you, okay?
Okay, so we probably will have a chat room popping in and out. Ron, it's back to you.
Okay. All right. Well, tonight we are definitely talking with a very special guest, one who has some very interesting history, as a matter of fact, one who definitely has demonstrated that she has some star power going on.
Not the star power.
Yeah. She's a great artist indeed. I'm talking about native New Yorker, keyboardist, vocalist Aziza Miller, whose latest 6-track EP, This Journey of Love, follows a series of, actually a trio of releases that explore Aziza's unique blend of jazz, soul, and poetry. Those three were, I guess you would pronounce it, jazzetry? Is it jazzetry or jazzoetry, I guess? Yeah, jazzetry, I suppose. Putting poetry and jazz together, there you get jazzetry, okay? She had Volume 1 in 2007, she had Volume 2 in 2010. And then in 2014, she followed all that up with one called What's on Your Mind. However, many listeners first became acquainted with Aziza when she blazed the trail in the 1970s as one of the first female musical directors for a major recording artist. And you wonder who that is? Well, between 1975 and 1980, she presided as musical director, conductor, and pianist for the one and only late, great Natalie Cole.
Shut up. Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. My girl Natalie. During that time, Aziza composed the music for La Costa, which featured lyrics by Natalie and brought Aziza to the attention of Ahmad Jamal, who not only covered La Costa, but invited Aziza to write some lyrics to four of his original recorded compositions. Now, this is an interesting little tidbit here. She was formerly known as Linda Williams. She was offered a contract with Arista Records when she released her first solo album, City Living, back in 1979. And that debut featured the Latin-infused grooves of Elevate Our Minds, a song that was subsequently sampled by renowned UK DJ Ben Westbeach on Get Closer back in 2006.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, beyond her studio projects, this is also something extremely interesting to me. Beyond her studio projects, Aziza's many talents have flourished everywhere from the Broadway stage to New York's Department of Education. She brought her expertise to the Professional Performing Arts School, where Alicia Keys was one of her many talented students.
Wow, my New York sister's been around.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We've got to put a plug in that Aida hails from New York as well. So this ought to be a very interesting conversation here tonight. In 1997, Aziza received the Presidential Scholar Distinguished Teacher Award from President Clinton.
Good girl.
Yeah, I mean, like I told you, she has a very interesting life story here thus far. She played in the orchestra for Oprah Winfrey's presentation of The Color Purple, and was the musical director for Rain Pryor's Fried Chicken and Latkes.
Wow.
You know, lots here to cover tonight. You know, lots here to cover.
Well, I'm excited.
I know it's the night that Empire's on. I think this is the last episode for the season, isn't it, if I'm not mistaken? But those of you who tune in, I will do my best to accommodate you, and we'll get all this done. We'll listen to some great music, talk to Aziza, and you guys can get to see Empire in its entirety.
Listen, don't even
worry. And if you don't, you've got, most of you have a DVR, I'm sure. So you just record it. We won't keep you that long. Anyway, without further ado, please join me in welcoming our special guest tonight, Aziza Miller. Hey, Aziza.
Hey, Aziza.
Hello, Aida, and hi, Ron. It's so good
to be
on your show. And I was listening to everything you were saying, and I was saying to myself, did I do that?
You did that. You did that, sister.
Did I?
I'm most impressed, to say the least. I mean, that's a very, very, very
full life.
Yes, indeed, to say the least. Welcome so much to the conversations here, Liz, and I thank you so much for joining us. I gotta get right to this and drill down on the history of Aziza. So why don't you tell us first off how you became interested in music and how you came to choose keyboards as your instrument of choice?
Let's see. I came from a musical family.
Okay.
My dad, his father and mother were all musicians. And my father played piano, grandmother played piano, and grandfather was a violinist. And although he passed before I was born, I never got to know my grandfather. But my father's love of music just transferred through my spirit, you know. And before I knew it, I was basically liking music. And my godmother, she said, well, I have an old piano here. She had an old upright piano. And she said she wanted me to have it. I was about 8 years old.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, and I remember my first piano teacher. She was so mean. Oh, my God. but, yes, I made a mistake. You know, she was like one of those old school teachers. Mm-hmm. She had like a ruler, and she'd lightly, you know, tap across my knuckles if I made a mistake.
I am familiar with those type of teachers.
Oh my goodness. So you know, I didn't, needless to say, I didn't, you know, she didn't turn me against the instrument. I just decided that I didn't want to study with her anymore, but I wanted to continue with lessons and stuff. So
that's
really, you know, what I was exposed to at an early age was the arts and music. Mm-hmm.
Weren't you blessed?
Yeah, I think so. Now, aside from your family, of course, who would you say would be among your very early influences, particularly in jazz, like, or R&B and jazz as well?
Okay. Oh, gee whiz. Everybody.
Earthwind
and Fire, Stevie Wonder, Kool and the Gang, Celia Cruz, Brazil 66. Tanya Maria, on the jazz tip, Count Basie in the orchestra, Eddie Harris, Les McCann, McCoy, Horace Silver. Oh my God, the list really, when I think about it, because growing up in New York, it's still the same. It's such a melting pot of so many different cultures that unless you're dead, you know, you're going to be exposed to everything.
Sure.
Even the classical music. When I went to high school, that's when I became introduced to the classical and the Baroque period and all that. And I said, man, this is some good stuff out here. You know?
What high school did you go to?
I went to music and art.
Oh, down in Manhattan?
Mm-hmm. Used to be in Harlem on 135th Street. And I went before they merged with, what was the other school? They call it the Fame School. Performing Arts, yeah. Performing Arts and Music and Art, they merged together. And
that's
now
excellent.
They're called LaGuardia School of the Arts.
LaGuardia?
When I went, it was LaGuardia, yeah, High School of the Performing Arts. They merged, and now it's LaGuardia. But back in the day, it was High School of Music and Art.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Angela
now,
Bofield went there.
Yeah,
Angela.
Noel Pointer went there. Dave Valentine went there.
Okay.
A lot of
Buddy
names.
Buddy Williams.
A lot of
yeah,
names.
Buddy Williams. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of the
who's. Yeah. Who's.
Yep.
You can read that right off.
Yeah, that's for sure. Now, I in my intro here, I mentioned the period from 75 to 80 where you were Natalie's musical director. Prior to that, had you had much of a solo career or
no.
Had you, you hadn't done anything until you joined her, okay. And while
well,
you
I
were
was
with
teaching.
Her.
I was teaching
yeah.
before
yeah.
I met
okay.
Natalie. I,
sure.
Yeah, that's what I was doing.
Well, tell me about that magical connection between you and Natalie and how that came about. I mean, how did you guys run into each
other? From the classroom to the...
Yeah.
to the showroom.
yeah, that was an interesting experience. I was playing, actually, professionally before I met Natalie, so I was teaching school, but I was also performing in clubs. So I was no stranger to that. And... I remember doing one particular gig. I was accompanying a vocalist. I don't remember her name, but there was someone sitting in the audience, and after our set, he wanted to meet me because he said he liked the way I played piano, and he said he was also a piano player, and he wanted to exchange numbers because he said, because sometimes he may get something that he can't do, you know, in terms of the music, and he'd like to turn me on to it. So I said, okay, we exchanged information. I went home, forgot all about it, and the phone rings 2 weeks later, and he says, hey, this is Jimmy, remember me? I met you at such a... Oh, yeah, yeah, how you doing? I'm great. Listen, I got a call. There's this new singer out. She's the daughter of Nat King Cole, and she's coming out, you know, with a new album. And they're looking for a piano player, and they called me, but I don't want to go. I don't want to travel. So why don't you go make the audition?
Wow.
So I said, really?
Wow. what a handoff gift there, you know?
yeah, he gave me a gift. That's how the whole thing started, and I auditioned, and I was hired on the spot.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. That had to be such an absolute high for
you.
Yeah,
that had to be such an absolute high for you. And I'm sure Natalie was such a treasure to work with, too, as well.
She was. I mean, she was the best.
Man. Now, did you pen a lot of her her compositions? Or was
did
it kind
I write
of
a lot of
collaborative?
Her
yeah. Did you guys, or basically was it more of a collaboration, or did you actually just... independently write some of her music?
Well, when I first started out with her, Richard Evans wrote all those arrangements. So what I had to do was learn the scores so that when orchestras were added to her show, I'd be able to conduct the orchestras.
Oh,
so
sure,
there were times,
sure.
Wow.
You know, there were, yeah, so I had to become very familiar with the scores. And again, I have to thank my parents because they insisted I get something to fall back on, which was a master's degree in music. So that's where I learned how to you know, conduct
score,
and read music. And, you know what I'm saying? So
in the beginning,
no, I was strictly there to conduct the band, be it just a rhythm section or with the inclusion of an orchestra. And then the longer we worked together, that's when I became more comfortable with exploring myself as a composer because I had all that exposure to arrangements and stuff.
Sure.
So, So it's a process, like anything else. It's a process.
Yes.
Of course, of course. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's something. You know, there's always something to be said for those folks who achieve so much by ear and all of that. But if you can get some of that theory under your belt, I mean, as you mm-hmm. obviously have.
That foundation.
Yeah, that makes a world of a difference, that's for sure. Well, let's get right into this album, actually. And speaking of Natalie, I'm going to open with that. This is a song for my friend, and this, of course, is dedicated to Natalie. Check it out, everybody. A Song for My Friends. Such a beautiful song. Such a beautiful, beautiful
Thank
song.
You.
Such
and
a beautiful voice.
I was just about to say that. You have some pipes on you, definitely, for sure.
Well,
now,
that only happens on certain occasions, guys. You know, I mean, that is not, you know, that song came from such a place of pain and love and hurt and sorrow. I wanted to represent my friend, and I wanted to express how much she meant to me, and I wanted to portray it as if she and I were having a conversation, because we often had conversations, just she and I, and oftentimes not even about music, just about life.
Sure,
and,
sure.
So I'm
well,
glad it translated. I'm so
oh, yes.
glad. That was the purpose. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, yeah, it definitely comes through. You can hear that in every singing, every single note, you know, that you sung there. It was absolutely filled with emotion. And like I said, it was a definitely beautiful composition.
Thank you.
Since venturing out after Natalie, let me ask you, and this may tax your memory a bit there, or all the experiences I'm sure that you've had. What would you consider after Natalie now has been probably your most memorable musical experience? For example, maybe working with some other notables since Natalie, or I don't know, some travel to some exotic place, or
Well, flying on your own.
Well, all of the above. Meeting you.
That was so sweet.
I'm being honest. Meeting you,
Girl,
having you write.
The big head.
Oh, I think it's too late. The word is out. and well deserved. You know, after you know, you wrote such an honest and true review.
Thank you.
I really appreciated that, because you get me as an artist. You know, you can tell if a person really gets the artist by what they say about them.
Well, you know,
I'm
sorry. I was just going to say it wasn't difficult at all with you, but we'll get into that in a moment. I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. But the first time I conducted, the first time I played in the pit at the Color Purple, that it was nerve-wracking, only because there was so much music to learn, and I was playing. I was playing keyboards, and I had a lot to learn. But once the flow started happening, and once you know, it became so automatic. You know, you could just play the music practically with your eyes closed. But
sure.
Again,
wow.
That was a reading. That was a reading gig. You know, it's not that a lot of us cannot play by ear. I can play
sure.
by ear too, but when you do Broadway shows, every note on the paper has got to be there night after night after
sure.
night. You don't play
sure.
it any differently. It's got to be
don't consistent. Improvise or anything. No,
right. No,
no
improvisation at all.
I hear you.
You want to get
I
kicked
you.
Out.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, other firsts for me was, you know, watching Alicia get her accolades, you know, because this
oh,
is
sure.
my first student that became
wow.
a superstar. And
yeah.
when she, you know, looked back and reached back and said, well, this lady right here is the reason why I'm where I am today, that was an honor. Getting the
sure.
Presidential Scholar Award, because I was nominated by, once again, another student who was paying, you know, props and respect to me for changing their life. That was a big monumental moment.
Oh,
you know,
no question.
Who
was
that?
Yeah, yeah. So, oh, God, there are just so many. I can't really think of
I
them
bet.
All right now. But
I
I'm
bet.
Very
I
grateful
bet.
And I'm very blessed to be here and to continue what I'm doing.
Yes. Well, we're very blessed to have you here, because let me tell you, but the gift that you offer is just amazing. It truly, truly is amazing. And I the review when I wrote it, I actually, as you said, I got you because I felt you, you know. know, and that was it was mm-hmm. it was coming from such a deep place, a very deep and very creative place that I heard, as you can imagine, tons and tons of artists and music and so forth, and only a handful stand out like that and make me say, oh my gosh, you know, I really had to mm-hmm. sit down and put my elbows into this one, you know, you know? Mm-hmm. Because I really so enjoyed your what you were contributing there, you know, and and speaking of that, I'm going to get into the title track of this album right now. This is another wonderful tune, everybody. This is Journey of Love. I'm on an island somewhere. Just give me my
journey.
Give me my journey and a drink, and I'm good. You know. Wonderful piece indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. As Linda Williams, I know that there's a fascinating story behind you becoming Aziza Miller. Would you mind sharing it with us?
Oh, I don't know. Should I?
You don't know if you want to share it? I know it's fascinating.
I don't know if I want to.
Hit rewind. You know?
it's really very simple. I'm a spiritual person. And I can, you know, believe it or not, I can remember not being too fond of the name Linda all my life. And people say to me, oh, you know what Linda means, don't you? In Spanish, you know,
yeah,
Linda
exactly.
means beautiful. Linda means pretty.
Exactly.
You don't like the name Linda? And I honestly could say, not that I don't see myself as an unattractive woman. Don't get me wrong. But I wanted a name for me that would encompass how I felt spiritually.
Sure.
And even though I couldn't articulate it at a young age, I couldn't articulate what I was feeling. But as I got older, I was able to put my finger on it. I said, okay, names represent you. They represent us. And I said, sometimes we're happy with the names we're given, sometimes we're not. I said, well, do I want to go through the legal channels and do this thing legally? Nah, I don't. I just want to give myself an identity that I can wear.
Sure.
So I went into a book of names, African names, and I said, I'm going to start from A to Z, and I'm going to see what appeals to me. What can I wear? When I saw the definition that Aziza meant beloved, blessed, highly favored, popular, I said, now I can wear that name. That's the right size for me.
Sure.
Yeah, so that's how that came about. And Williams was not my birth name. You know, I know I've confused so many people because it's like, how many names is, who are you today? You know? But,
I understand.
You know, what I'm saying? Williams was the name that I had when I had been married years ago. And when I met Natalie, I was still, even though the marriage had ended, I was still carrying that name. But then after a few years, I said, wait a minute. Why am I carrying that name when I don't feel that way anymore?
I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? Let me go back. You know, I had no problem with Miller because I always liked Miller time. I liked, you know, the way that sounded. It's Miller time.
Sure.
So here I am, you know, Aziza and Miller. That's how that whole thing.
Wow. That's such a fascinating story there. I mean, I like that. I like that a lot. That's absolutely wonderful. I tell you. Well, let me ask you. Let me delve a little bit into this teaching career of yours, because now I guess you're no longer in that profession. But have you thought of conducting any clinics or workshops, or do you just not have the time now? Because, I mean, after this last album, I suspect you're pretty busy.
Right.
Well, you know, it's not that I wouldn't mind. I really wouldn't mind at all. I would enjoy that.
Oh, okay.
I would enjoy that.
Well,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure there are a lot of musicians who are aspiring musicians anyway, who are either listening now or will listen, and will be very encouraged to hear you say that.
Master classes and clinics, yeah.
Oh, no.
Absolutely. I love composition and anything having to do with composition.
Okay, all you up-and-coming artists out there, you heard it. You heard it right here. All right. Well, meanwhile, let's get back to this. And you do, by the way, but I have to disagree with the title of this next track, because you have a lot to say. You have a lot to say.
Don't say much.
This is, everybody, I Don't Say Much. Check it out.
You're absolutely right.
whatever. Okay, whatever.
Piano, your life story, and I'm sure the story behind this wonderful love-themed album on this EP, you speak volumes, without a doubt, without a doubt.
Yeah,
And in fact, I'd like you to elaborate a little bit on the motivation behind this very album. What really caused you to say, you know what, I want to do this album all about love. You know, this journey of love. What was the catalyst for that?
Okay.
In addition,
the death
of course,
the death of my friend.
I was just about to say that. Aside from the fact that I know a large portion of this was generated from the love you had for your friend Natalie. You know,
right.
Then there's a tribute to Horace as well. I mean, yeah, this is all about love, that's for sure. And the way you did that is so amazing, I have to say.
Yeah, it was something that I knew had to be done. It was something that I look forward to doing. It was something that it wasn't like months or years in the making.
Sure.
You know, as all composers know, sometimes you have dry spells where you don't hear anything, you can't write anything.
Right.
But
right.
After Nat passed, I couldn't stop crying, and I couldn't stop writing. And
I
was supposed to go ahead and do this, and I'm so glad that I did, because for me, I went to a place that is me. Where I allowed myself to be myself without apologies.
Sure.
And
sure.
I wasn't trying to fit in to a particular mold or format. I just wanted to be me and express how I had to love myself through the pain. I had to visit places within myself that might have hurt, but I came out on top, because it's all about love in the end anyway.
Sure. Sure, sure.
And let me tell you, I don't say much. I had to laugh, because people know me. They say, "Really? No, that's not true." But see, what that song is for me, like when I put that together, you know, being a New Yorker, right? That's my theme song as I walk through the streets of New York, as I go down the subway, as I may ride the bus, if I'm going down steps getting ready to get that train, you know, on the iron horse and stuff. I don't say much, you know.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like my theme song as I'm, you know, making my way in this world.
but that makes a lot of sense, though. I mean, it does. I mean, you know, and particularly today. Today when you're walking down any street, believe me. But I guess I pin that by saying, you don't say much, but when you do speak, you have something to say. You know, without a doubt, and that's more than evident in your music for sure. Now I've got to ask you along that line of not saying much. I'm gonna ask you to dig down deep. I always ask people, a lot of artists, this question, and I know for a lot of people who are constantly saying, "What is wrong?" Ask that deep question and put me on the spot like that. But I just like to know different perspectives. But
exactly.
What's your view of quote unquote smooth jazz as it exists today? I mean, do you find that you like where it is now, or would you like it to take another direction, or just what's your position on that?
Well,
I mean, as you well know, it's no longer a commodity on commercial radio. You know, it hasn't been for years now, because primarily that's been driven by money concerns, obviously. But as a form of art, I'm just wondering how you feel how you feel about it now, because it's morphed many times since its creation back in the '80s, probably even before then. It's morphed several times now. And I'm wondering, if you're comfortable with where it is now, or do you think it could stand some improvement? And I guess this is more as advice for these up and coming artists who are trying to find themselves and say, do I want to go to R&B? Do I want to go to country? Do I want to go to rock?
Right.
You know,
where would they fit?
Yeah. How is this market for them? I guess it's my bottom line there.
I was going to say that, first of all, I'm very new to the smooth jazz scene.
Mm-hmm.
This is my fifth project.
Mm-hmm.
I've had four albums previous to this, but this is
sure,
the one
sure.
that is really making the most, getting the most buzz and getting the
no
most
question.
Airplay from smooth jazz.
Okay?
From smooth jazz. And urban scene, the smooth scene, the groove, I'm getting so much love that I welcome it. The only advice I can give, what I'm trying to say is this. Everybody's got a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a thing, a personality, a look, a like, a dislike, an opinion, but not many people have visions. And I think the vision is what is the most important, because what good is it to fill a room with just opinions? My opinion doesn't matter. Let's see what visions that we have, and let's see how we want to nurture it and move it forward, or leave it where it is or whatever. So I, at this particular time, I am very happy with the love that I'm getting. I didn't see it coming, and I just went in there and I said, guys, let's do this. I ain't got a lot of money. Don't even have a lot of time, because I want to have this CD ready on the 8th of August so we can release it at the Blue Note. And let's make some great music that makes people feel good. So in a nutshell, if it makes you feel good, that's all that matters. And I can't judge what I like. I can't knock somebody else, because there's something out here for everybody.
So I say,
live and let live and just,
That's so very well articulated. I mean, one of the better responses I've had yet to date. I get a lot of, there's a lot of criticism out there with respect to the genre as a whole. But I think one's approach to it is generally what shapes one's opinion of it. Like in your case, you have a very unique blend, as you well know, with the jazz and the soul, and of course your poetry, adventures as well. That's a very unique blend, and that's a hybrid that begs exception to the run of the mill. "Quote unquote smooth jazz," there are artists who don't have a lot to say. They don't say much, but neither do their creations. On the other hand, yours begs exception, and I can think of one other keyboardist like that, Keiko Matsui, who just speaks volumes of their music. I guess that's what I was driving at, and you basically answered that for me, because it is your your own creation and your approach to the genre that shapes your opinion of it, I think, you know. And mm-hmm. your approach to it is so unique. That's one of the reasons why I get drawn to it. And that's what motivated me to write the review I wrote, you know. So,
okay,
so that's me
you.
In a nutshell, you know.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
But anyway, let me get back to this this album again and this another nice one. This is a tribute to Horace Silver, everybody. This is, of course, A Song for Silver. for silver. I know somewhere there is a pianist smiling down on you for that one. Believe me,
yeah.
A certain pianist is definitely smiling on you for that. That's great. Let me ask you though. Where are you right now touring to promote this wonderful new release?
Well, as
just
we
briefly,
speak,
anyway.
dates are being formalized and finalized and negotiated. You know, things are in the works. The Iridium returning back there, Joe's Pub returning back there.
Okay.
There's something happening New Year's Eve here, in a place called the Ribbon.
Oh, cool.
And I got a gig tomorrow at Club A Steakhouse where I play with a trio, and we always have fun there. Things
fantastic.
Are in the works. Yeah.
Fantastic.
I post everything on my website, so if people want to take my website, they can check in there. www.azizamiller.com. And Aziza, by the way, is spelled the same way backward and forward. It's A-Z-I-Z-A.
Isn't that cool? I'm sitting here right now. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. You know, you can't do that with Ronald. That's great. Well, I'm glad you shared that information with our listeners, because I know full well there are going to be some folks who are definitely going to want to be checking you out live, including me. So if you ever add the Washington, D.C., Maryland, Virginia area to your calendar, please, by all means, let me know.
Oh,
I will
definitely.
Be there with Bellamy.
I would love to, definitely.
We would love
definitely.
To have you here, that's for sure.
Thank you.
Well,
and the CD is available everywhere, CD Baby, Amazon, Apple iTunes. It's all over the Internet.
I'm without a doubt.
Perfect timing, too, with the holidays coming.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful stocking stuffer.
I was just about to remind
you.
People
Thank
of that.
You,
I got time for one more track, and I know that I'm going to run about a couple of minutes over. Everybody, don't be mad at me. You're only going to miss the commercials for Empire, so don't worry. Don't worry about it. Check this one out. This is another wonderful one. This is Say Yes, Time to Get My Blessing. couldn't find a more appropriate way to end that in this show, right? I mean, that I know some folks are probably sitting around. We're just waiting for that one that just jumps off, you know, just time to testify. Okay,
get ready.
That was the one. Yes, indeed, absolutely fantastic album, Aziza. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
Of course, has been a wonderful time we spent with you here, and I thank you so much for taking this time to share this great music with us, and we definitely wish you all the best with it.
Thank you.
Aziza Miller, everybody, the CD's called, actually it's an EP, and I wanted to get into why you cheated us. You only gave us 6, and I know you've got so much more to give, but we'll wait for the next time around. You know?
Okay.
This EP is definitely called, it's a wonderful piece of work. This is Journey of Love. Great stuff. You got to grab a copy, just like Aziza said. It's available everywhere. So show this young lady some love, some support for this wonderful indie artist. So Aziza, definitely take care of yourself. And I hope, like I said, you will let me know when you visit one of our venues here in the luxurious D.C. metropolitan area.
You got it.
You know, and I will be looking forward to that for sure.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks for having me on your show. I really had a good time.
Not a problem at all.
Thank you for
Have a great evening now.
Okay, now.
Have
Bye-bye.
A great evening. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Wonderful lady and a wonderful artist indeed.
Oh, nice chat, girl.
Yeah, she's a beautiful person inside and out, and that music is just to die for.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to do it for us, everybody. I know I've held you a few minutes longer than you wanted to be held, but I hope it was definitely worth your while, because it certainly was worth ours. Again, thanks for listening, and it's time for me to get some quick plugs in. I know some of you are gone already now. Oh, boy, here he goes. I've got to go. But I'm going to get his plugs in.
Do it.
I just want to remind you to visit us on thesmoothjazzride.com if you like CD reviews and concert reviews and music news and this kind of chat and jam session that we have with artists archived on our own Smooth Conversations page, as well as here on Blog Talk Radio. So much more. Just stop by. We've got you covered. We've got you back. You iPhone and Android users, we've now got you covered on the site as well, so you can now access our Smooth Conversations page and listen to these very chats and music right there on your own phone. Of course, you can also visit, like I mentioned, Blog Talk Radio will always have an archive here, and you can listen to it here if you prefer. And don't forget, please join us and like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter as well. And a ton of thanks to those of you who I really want to take this moment to say that, as a matter of fact. A ton of thanks to all of you who've been regular visitors to the site and listening to our Smooth Conversations page as well, reading our Smooth Jazz CD reviews. We really appreciate that. I can't state that more. It really is a humbling experience for us. Hopefully, in the very near future, we'll be also developing a newsletter just for you. Can't exactly say when at this point. We're still trying to work on the logistics, but we will definitely keep you posted. And, of course, don't forget to visit our friends and partners at Talking Smooth Jazz. It's headed up by Terry Scott, co-hosted by Mike Reynolds. And they always do a great job over there, great work with their own program. So, of course, by all means, check them out and keep checking our site out to find out who we'll be bringing on next. As a matter of fact, tomorrow night we're having Chris Geith, wonderful artist that I think you'll thoroughly enjoy. Please tune into that. That's at 8 o'clock tomorrow night.
And remember, please do not keep us a secret.
No, by all means. So till next time, this is Ron Jackson.
And Aida.
Saying good night and keep enjoying the ride.